Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 11th. I'm your host, Jen Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here. It's been a while since we've had a Mary Monday, so this was fun looking at something different for a change. I've been watching those Friday feeds for a while now, so it feels like a whole new show when you get a break to go to a different day of the week.
Yes. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It was day 44 in the house, and the feeds were down for a lot of the day, but there's still some stuff to talk about here.
Yeah, a couple interesting conversations, a few moves, some plans for the future, and then you can come back later on tomorrow to hear everything that we guess we can find that happened during the feed outage.
Yes. So as we know, Gino is the HOH. He nominated Moose and Summer for eviction with the intention to backdoor Marty, because Marty is a backstabber and backstabbed Gino twice. So that's the plan. But Gino told everyone about it except for Kevin and Helena and, of course, Marty. Then they played in the veto and Helena won the veto, which put a little bit of a wrench into the backdoor Marty plan. Josh then exposed the whole thing to Kevin the day before, day 43, told him about the whole backdoor plan, how basically everybody knew what was going on, and also that he had made a Final Four deal with, or at least some sort of ceasefire deal with Gino, Jace, Betty, and himself. So, armed with that information, Helena having the veto, they come into day 44 with Jace and Betty in the morning talking about how can we convince Helena to use the veto so that we can backdoor Marty, and Kevin and Helena talking about, should we use the veto? Probably not.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the fatal flaw here, of course, for Gino is being approached with multiple people to form multiple alliances, sort of choosing one of them in the Betty and Josh area and completely forgetting to maintain communication with Helena and Kevin, even though they also wanted a Final Four, and just got unlucky with the veto win and the amount of information given out, because at this point, Kevin and Helena know that Gino was not including them on his original plan. So this is why if you're ever even debating which group you should possibly go with, you want to keep your options open. And Gino had started to close that door and then got bit by it here.
Yeah, it's, you know, we talked about it yesterday, but it just doesn't make sense to not tell Kevin and Helena, especially considering the fact that that they've been talking, that they had been talking day 43 about, like, hey, we're probably going to go with Kevin and Helena over Betty and Josh anyway. So why not just let them know, just get them on the train early while you still have power and leverage as HOH, instead of being like, oh crap, now you have power. Can you maybe do what we want?
I'm assuming the reasoning was the fear that Kevin and Helena would leak this information to Marty. Now, on the one hand, this information's already probably going to get out to Marty anyway, once you create the plan and tell that many people. But on the, like, I really liked what you said yesterday, which was you don't even have to, like, go up to Kevin and Helena and be like, hey, here's the plan. We're backstabbing Marty. No. Go be like, yeah, our final four, let's workshop. Here's some ideas. Maybe this Marty thing. And then if you get a ton of pushback, then you know, ooh, they're probably not going to use it, even if they do win the veto. So maybe we should come up with a backup plan and not have to scramble at this point.
What are you going to do?
Oh, wow.
So we start the day again with Jace and Betty. They're talking about how to convince Helena to use the veto. They talk about how if she's not willing to use the veto, it does go to show just how close she is with Marty, which is probably the one downside to Helena not using this veto, is that it could really plant her and Marty together. And if people are going to target Marty, they are potentially going to put her on the block next to him. But as we talked about yesterday, not that many people really available left to do that at this point. So we will see, although it is a bit of an option for some people that we thought maybe it wasn't an option for, which we'll talk about. Betty does talk to Helena very briefly and lets Helena know, like, hey, you do what's best for you, not what's best for other people. I'm not entirely sure if she meant this in the way that Helena took it. Because Helena took it as like, oh, thank you. Like, you're giving me permission to keep Marty in the game. But I think that Betty might have meant it in the way of like, don't do what's best for Marty, do what's best for you. But who knows?
Yeah. And of course, the flaw here with everyone else is if you don't want Helena to save Marty and to be close with Marty, you need to actively be giving her reasons to be with you or someone else instead. And they're not really doing that. Like Summer and Moose aren't really, at least not yet, or maybe this happened during the feed downage, trying to convince Helena that they would somehow be better for her game. Or, you know, Betty's not trying to convince Helena that, you know, be with me and move away and have a reason to move away from Marty. Because when you get so few people left at this point, there's not a whole lot of reasons for Helena to be like, yeah, let me just actively help you guys take out one of the people who definitely would not put me up, who's also won several competitions.
Yeah. Helena is not Gino. She's not going to take out her own ally when she wins power. She understands the value of winning power and allies.
Yeah, like, I see what you're saying of, oh, it looks bad to, like, really solidify yourself with Marty. True. But if she took Marty out, they would just be like, oh, great, she took out her ally for us. It's not like she's moved
exactly
her position.
Yeah. It's what I keep saying about Gino, where like, if he took out Marty this week, even though Marty is deathly loyal to him in a weird way, that like, oh, yes, the rest of the house would be so grateful. And that would last a full few days before they turned their back on Gino and took him out the following week.
Right. Like, best case scenario would have been somehow for Helena to save Marty while not having people already sort of paired them together. But they've already paired them together, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Is Helena the Gino Helena ship name?
Yeah, that it should be Helena. Oh, wow.
All right. So Kevin talks to Helena. He asks her about the veto. She says, well, people will probably want me to use this, but I don't think I want to. I think that would be dumb. And Kevin's like, yes, I agree.
Yeah, that would be dumb. Don't do that. I think it's interesting that Kevin does not immediately tell Helena, like, here's everything Josh told me. But I kind of like the way that he's slow playing it with her throughout the day.
Yes. Well, he's going to go and talk with Marty. They do some studying. This comes up in a conversation later with Helena, where Kevin is talking about how good Marty is at this stuff. So I think it's a good time to mention that, Marty, he won HOH last week, and that meant that he got the message from that Kevin Martin. And Kevin Martin in the message told him, hey, competitions are very important. And it made him think. Ever since then, he's been talking a lot about, obviously, the whole trust your gut thing was a thing, but he's also talked about that message about how competitions are getting more and more important. And he has spent days at a time studying. He literally a few days ago was, like people went to talk to him. Cause like, I haven't been talking about Marty very much since his HOA train because he hasn't been involved in too many conversations. He's been spending a lot of time alone. He feels like the house doesn't like him very much. And a lot of that time alone has been spent studying. He's literally told people like, sorry, today's a study day. And he's just been studying. He knows his stuff very well, certainly better than Kevin, in a lot of areas. Kevin though does know some stuff. He knows the speeches very well. They were studying the speeches a lot. But Marty knows like random things that Kevin's like, I didn't even realize that that was a thing to remember. And so, interesting to note.
Yeah. And it's not going unnoticed. Like Kevin's going to notice it. Helena there, they're going to talk about it later. And it's not like, oh, Marty knows his stuff and everyone else is pretty close. He's light years ahead of a lot of the people in the house.
Yes. Or at the very least, that's how Kevin is portraying it to others. So Kevin reiterates to Marty that it's important for them to not appear too close, especially him and Helena with this potential veto. Marty really feels like he was the backdoor target this week. He feels like he asks Kevin, like, did you hear any conversations? Kevin said, there were no conversations with me about it, but I mean, I saw the body language. I feel like there was something going down. Marty says, yeah, I saw it too, which sucks because it's such a bad move for Gino. And I'm telling you, I have your back, but I'm taking Gino to the final four. I can't turn on him a third time.
This, I mean, it's getting kind of thwarted by Helena not actually, you know, or by Helena potentially saving Marty here, but I feel like this is enough for Marty to be like, you know what? We're even. I went against Gino. I went back on my word. And now he's probably going back on his words. That should be enough. Man, I feel like if you can get that, if you can get Marty to give you his loyalty, that's apparently worth a lot in this game, even if you're backstabbing him. I don't know what kind of power Gino has over Marty. Like, it's amazing. It's pretty good here. I don't know that that Marty is really going to see the light. Like, do you think if Gino somehow got another shot to take Marty out again, do you think that would be the final straw? Or do you think at this point there's nothing Gino could ever do to make Marty turn on him?
I think Gino would have to do like get into an argument with Marty, or like actually, like Marty would have to be confronted with the fact that Gino's like, I don't like you and I want you gone. Right. And then I think something could happen. Kevin is also going to talk to Helena later about like, I think if we had a whole week to work on him, we could maybe make something happen. Like, I mean, they've done similar things to Marty before.
Right. And that's what's interesting here is, you know, Kevin has heard from Josh at this point about the plan to get Marty out, but he hasn't been in on this the whole time. So he hasn't been able to sow those seeds with Marty this whole week, and knowing that. And it also makes it kind of easier for Kevin here when Marty asks, like, did you know about this from the beginning or anything, that he doesn't have to lie and can kind of be more authentic in that conversation. And while Kevin's, you know, good at masking the truth, it's certainly easier if you can be truthful.
Yeah. So Marty is also going to talk to Josh. Marty talks about how he underestimated how loved Herman was in the house. And he says, you know, he was a good guy, but he flat out said to me he was coming after Kevin. So he had to go because I'm close with Kevin. And Josh is like, aren't you close to Helena too? And he's like, more with Kevin.
Marty, stop.
And they talk some more about, like, you know, again, many of these conversations have been had throughout the entire game about, like, let's rebuild. Let's, you know, keep lines of communication open. Let's, you know, make our relationship better. Stuff like that.
Let's get Smarty back together. That yeah. went somewhere, didn't it? Yeah.
Would it be Joshy? Josh and Marty?
Joshy. Joshy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mosh.
Or Mosh, but yeah. I like Joshy better.
Joshy. The Josh ones are all pretty good. I like Jetty. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's one of my favorite ones. Is there a way we can get Belly? Is that a thing? No. Did I just make that up? No.
Belly. What are those two names?
I don't know. Betty and somebody. If you turned
Alina for short
into a nickname. Yeah. I don't know. Shorty.
All right. Well, Helena is going to talk with Summer. She lets Summer know that she wants her to stay this week. Summer says that's more important to her than whether the veto is used. She just wants to make sure that she would stay. Kevin also lets Summer know that he's looking to keep her around. If the nominations stay the same. So
do you think there would be any way that Summer could go if the nominations stay the same?
I mean, there's certainly a way. I think that right now there's a preference from Josh, Helena, and Kevin. All three of them prefer for Moose to leave over Summer. They're all looking at Summer as somebody that they wouldn't want to leave really anytime soon. They prefer that they know where Summer's targets are, and she's also not, you know, she hasn't won as many competitions or anything, so she's less of a threat in that sense. But I don't think it's like much stronger than just a preference. And so if the right information were to, you know, show, like, get into their hands, or like the right argument were to be made, or, you know, an event happened, like, I think they're open to changing, because they're not like dead set on it or anything, but something would have to change. And I don't know that like Moose or, you know, anybody else is going to either be capable or willing to, you know, push to make something change.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't want either of them to go this week. So I'm just kind of, oh, well.
Poor Moose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Jace and Gino do talk for a bit. Gino is telling Jace that Marty always seems to want to protect Helena more than Kevin. In their conversations, it seems like Kevin is at the bottom of their five. And Jace is like, that's so weird, because the Kevin chose, like, saved him in the safety chain. And Gino says, well, maybe his explanation was genuine, that like he just saw us as the safer players and he needed to make sure that Marty wasn't evicted. Gino says he feels like Kevin might feel like he's on the outs of like Marty and Helena. And that's probably why he wants to get close to them. So they should try and keep him close. And Jace agrees. She says she loves him. Let's make it work. They got to pull in Kevin.
I love this. Like, somehow Gino is doing work for Kevin that doesn't even exist. Like, the idea that Kevin is acting squirrely because, oh, well, he must feel like he's at the bottom and doesn't really have anyone. Like, that's so, what can I do in my life to somehow, like, just be my goofy self and then have other people, like, assume that there's some kind of innocent intent behind that? That would be great. I want that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously like Gino is thinking, oh, Kevin sees that Helena and Marty are too close, so he wants to work with us, a showmance.
I love that, and I love that Kevin is benefited by. There have been some people recently, especially in Big Brother Canada, in his archetype, who go in thinking that they're going to be able to play what Kevin has happened to do successfully, but then not. And so now it's like that archetype is like, oh, look, it's the super fan who thinks they're going to be able to do well, but they don't. And they're at the bottom. Oh, poor them. And it's just really funny to watch. But
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, right? Like that's like even because I don't think that like Gino and Jace are like, well, this archetype is usually not very good. But I do see what you're saying. But I think that Gino and Jace, they like Kevin. They think he's funny. They think he's adorable. They don't respect Kevin in the game.
It's like, okay, I feel like there's a disconnect between sometimes what the players, especially in this house, are seeing in the Kevin archetype versus what some viewers would. Because I feel like my inclination when I see someone like in the preseason who talks like Kevin does, who looks like he does, like my instinct is going to be, okay, this is like a hardcore gamer super fan who wants to maybe play the villain, and they're either going to be successful or they're not. We've seen some of both. But then sometimes in the house, people can get, and I think Gino and Jace are a little bit doing this, of like, they're not thinking about that archetype in the context of a strategic game, but they're thinking of that archetype like in high school or, you know, in the real world or whatever. And so then they're putting that image on like, and Kevin's been doing a good job feeding into that image as well. Like you think back to one of the early weeks when the guys were all meeting up in the HOH room and then Kevin got a lot of sympathy for not being invited in there. That was very like quote unquote high school and it worked for him. So yeah, anyway, I just think that's kind of interesting that it's somehow working back around based on these people. But there are certainly other people that could have been playing this game who would look at Kevin and peg him for exactly what he's trying to do instantly. So it just kind of depends on your game awareness. But Gino and Jace are like, maybe we should put a name on our alliance with Kevin because he's been wanting to do that for a while. So maybe we need to make him feel better.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, not only is them their lack of respect for Kevin in the game an issue for them because they're underestimating Kevin, it's also an issue for them because Kevin right now has no reason to think that he can work deep with the both of them. They're not letting Kevin know, like, because it's not just a straight benefit for Kevin that they underestimate him. It's also a negative sometimes because, like, they're talking about, like, let's really pull Kevin in. Let's bring Kevin and Helena down to the very end. But their actions aren't showing that at all. They don't want to work with Kevin and Helena as partners where they share all the information and they work together toward a common goal. They want to drag the two of them to the end as, aren't they adorable? And that obviously doesn't work very well for Kevin or Helena, who are like, oh, there was a backdoor plan that we weren't aware of that they're not telling us about. Like, they must not want to work with us. It cuts in many directions here. If you're not able to fully respect another player's agency in the game, which is something that Kevin is very good at. He's always been very, very good about like, hey, everybody in this game is a player worthy of respect and fear, because anybody can mess you up in this game.
Yes, another Big Brother tip: just fear everyone. Overestimate every single player.
Exactly. Much better to overestimate than underestimate.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Kevin is going to talk with Helena. He says, look, you may have saved our games last night with that veto win. She says, I don't think it's smart for us to use it. Kevin says, not smart for us. It's not smart for you. It would look terrible for you to take out your ally. I think it would be a terrible move. I think it's a bad move all around. Marty is just always going to be a target in front of us. And Helena says, I agree. She says, I think I can spin it as like, I owed Marty a debt for the safety chain and now we're even, to help kind of mitigate any kind of, they're a duo kind of stuff. And so like, this is pretty locked in. The veto, they do not intend to use it. Now, again, the feeds were down for a very long time, yesterday, for all we know, cause they haven't really come back. Even now, for all we know, something could have changed, but I don't think there's any reason to think that things will change or have changed. So pretty set in at this point. The veto is not going to be used. Marty is going to stay. It will be Moose or Summer that leaves.
Yes. And of course, with Helena, she's put in this like easy position of being able to, like, let's say Gino goes up to her and says, hey, so I was thinking maybe you could use this veto and we might backdoor someone, probably Marty. She could just be like, oh well, no, I can't do that because I gotta repay Marty for the safety chain. And because no one's done any work with her up until this point, that could very well be it. So I mean, it would take a pretty good player to have already like a reason to combat that logic right there. And so this is why you always got to make sure you got to have your bases covered, that your plan could go through no matter who wins the veto, or just don't try to convince those people after the fact.
So they both agree. They start talking about Marty and how, like, you know, Marty's probably better to take to the final three than like Josh. Like we love Josh, but like Gino and Josh are the two that automatically win in the final two. Marty, I don't know.
And think about it, this week, Marty and Helena and Kevin are the people who are left out of this plan, which means that probably everyone else in the game is sort of closer. And so like, if Josh was in on the plan, those are votes probably going to go to Josh. I mean, not necessarily, because there's a lot that can happen between here and there. But if you're looking in this moment and saying, which person is more connected to the possible jury votes, Marty or Josh, I think you have a clear answer there. So
yes.
Helena and Kevin, I don't think we're ever planning on going all the way to the end with Josh. But the conversation is happening even potentially a little earlier than maybe it would have had they all been working more cohesively this week.
Yes. So again, just to reset this up, that Josh let Kevin know a lot of things the day before. I talked about that. My interpretation of the conversation was Kevin being like, oh, when did you take control of the game from me? Can I please have that back? Now, Kevin is not going to tell Helena all of what was said to him by Josh. He is going to allude to some of it in the same way that he's alluded to things with Marty. He's going to be a bit more specific than he was with Marty, of course. But he is not going to dump all of the information here. He just kind of says, like, hey, I think Josh and Gino are a lot closer than we might have liked. I'm pretty sure there was some kind of backdoor plan in place. Helena thinks, like, that's fine. Like, I think it's best for Moose to go over Summer. Kevin agrees. He thinks Summer will take the shot at Gino, Jace, and Marty. And Helena's like, yes, I think that's right. They start talking about Jace and how they don't want Jace to leave. They would like Gino to leave. They think that everyone hates Jace. They start talking about, how Jace described Helena as a shit talker. Helena was like, she's the shit talker. Kevin says, I think we know that we're villainous. I don't think Jace knows she's a villain. I shit talk Summer to her all the time just to rile her up. And she just goes off. I don't think she realizes that she's a villain.
Yeah. And I don't know that because we don't get a whole lot of insight into Jace's game from her perspective. I don't know if the shit talking of Summer is game related or if it's just sort of something that she likes to do because she, I don't know, is bored or wants to gossip or whatever. I mean, it certainly can bond people, but when the people you're trying to use it to bond with are only doing it sort of to rile you up and get you talking, it's like they've done it in the opposite direction.
I mean, I think given the fact that she's had like private conversations with Gino where she's genuinely upset about his relationship with Summer, it speaks to me that this is probably a not genuine sort of thing, which, you know, I not to say that Jace isn't a player. I think that she probably also feels like, you know, oh, if I can get people against Summer with me talking with me about these things, we're bonding. Like, I'm sure all of that is, you know, at least in part game. But I think there is a genuine sort of, annoyance going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little word vomity. So. Oh, well.
So Helena says that Jace does feel close to Kevin. She says that she thinks Jace gets jealous when Kevin talks to other people because she wants Kevin all to herself. Kevin's like, oh boy.
Now, do you think this is one thing I fear about Kevin, though, with Gino and Jace in particular. That idea where Jace wants Kevin to be like her success and like her peace and stuff, that doesn't usually speak well to, okay, let's say Kevin gets to the end. How is Kevin going to convince Jace that, no, your perception of me all along was false? Like, at what point does Kevin need to start sort of trying to change that? Or you just hope that they figure it out on the jury or that you can convince them in your tiny little speech?
I mean, it ties into how Herman is viewing Kevin's game as well, right? That he has no respect for Kevin's. He said Kevin was the person he'd least likely vote for, and not because he felt salty in any way, just because he felt like Kevin wouldn't deserve it. Because he started playing as soon as he won the veto the week that Herman went home. There's definitely a perception gap that Kevin needs to traverse. I don't think it will be that difficult given the fact that they intend to send Josh to the jury at some point. Josh should be able to let them know, like, oh, guys, I'm so sorry, but you're very wrong. Kevin has been working this game. Now, Josh isn't exactly like a super pushy person in general. Yeah. And he also, if betrayed by Kevin, might not have the most amount of incentive to really like stump for Kevin in the jury. But it should get out that Kevin has been doing a bit more than they thought. Now, then the question becomes, like, are they willing to accept that? Because you, as we've seen in the past, like Betty getting super mad at Kevin.
I do hate you.
You know, for very little. When the person that you don't respect very much gets one over on you, you tend to be much more upset with them than somebody that you did respect a lot getting one over on you. Because it's like, how dare you? You're beneath me. That's not good. So the way that this archetype has won in the past, Ian and Steve, has been like, the plucky underdog, like they still never fully respected the game. I mean, really, in Ian's case, it was like, he's not Dan. But in Steve's case, it was like, oh, you know, Steve, he really came up and he, you know, he managed to get there and we just love him. Like they didn't even fully recognize all of the things that Steve was doing in the game. And I don't know that he would have like had the same level of like jury love if they knew all of the devious things that he was doing in the game. So it is an interesting thing to consider.
I feel like it would be so frustrating to play a game and then not even like you're still playing at the finale when you have to try to be like, oh, vote for me because I'm the underdog and maybe I did one or two things and whatever. Like, that must be so frustrating to have to do that where you can't even like let your guard down and be like, no, here's what I was doing. Cause I feel like that's what you want to say. But it'll be really interesting to see if that case happens. But, you know, we're talking like it's a done deal that Kevin's going to somehow get there. And it's still got some work to do to get there.
Yes. So, they talk about how, Helena worries that if, we went off track. I lost my place in my notes. Helena lets Kevin know that about Jace talking when Jace spoke with Helena the other day about how she was going to out Summer with the flip flopping on Betty's eviction vote to turn Summer or to turn Betty against Summer if they needed to. Kevin says that he did talk to Josh and Josh does want Marty out. And he feels like Josh's pitch to get rid of Marty was actually really good. The pitch is that if Marty goes, the whole house is going against the showmans. But that's not super great for them because they only want Gino to leave. They don't want Jace to leave. And again, that means they have to lose Marty and it puts Josh into perhaps too powerful of a position. Kevin thinks that if he were to win, he thinks Betty and Summer would be the noms and then backdoor Gino. You don't want to put the both of them up on the block because, you know,
and Jace probably leaves. It's harder to construct that Gino would leave by himself.
The wrong one could leave and then you've pissed them both off. So it's too risky to do that. Helena worries, though, if they do backdoor Gino and they leave Betty and Josh still in the game, that Betty and Josh will be able to pull Jace. And then, you know, that now they've lost Jace and Betty and Josh could still sort of like come out of that wreckage in a better spot than them. So that's something that they need to consider. They also talk about how, you know, again, Moose is probably going to go. They feel bad for Moose. They feel like we wish we could pull him in because it feels like he doesn't really have anyone either, but it just feels like it's too late at this point. For poor Moose.
Where's Moose?
This is something I think about a lot of. Sometimes you have someone who you'll forget. You'll have a reason for wanting them out. And then the second they're on their way out the door, it's like, oh, wait, but now they're on their way out the door. And so clearly they're not maybe as big of a threat as I thought they were. So maybe I should keep them around, which was something that kind of, in a weird way, Kyle got around to a couple times. But then you forget, like, yeah, but now that they're back in the game, they've elevated that threat status again. Like, they're back to that original point. So I do think, like, there are cases where this can work, but you need Moose to be so locked in with you. And I think that, like, it's not enough just to be like, oh, I'll save him and then hope that somehow he chooses us.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, the fact is that that Moose is a big threat.
My degree is not in English. It is in sport media.
You can't
sport
forget
media?
That. You
oh my
can't
gosh.
Forget that his degree is in sport media. That's really, I mean, that's not the actual facts of it, but that whole, like, just Kyle tanked his game so hard in that week that Moose has never been able to recover. He's still paying that price here.
Oh, well. And then this is also the point in the conversation where Kevin's also going to inform Helena about how he believes that Marty does know a lot from studying these competitions as well. And it's like he wishes that there was some way to pitch Marty to backstab Gino a third time. But they don't think that necessarily would work.
Yeah. Helena says, I think maybe if we said like, hey, you backstabbed him twice, third time's a charm. and Kevin says, I genuinely, like, maybe over the course of a week, we convince him, but that would not be something to rely on, of course. Helena says she thinks it's good if Josh thinks that that Kevin and Josh are closer than Helena and Josh. Kevin says great because he already does. and they agree that if there's another safety chain, they're just gonna straight up pick each other. They're not gonna mess around with that anymore.
What are the odds there would be another safety chain? Do you think that's gonna happen?
I mean, there's probably going to be some kind of double or triple again at some point. Yeah. They talk about, Kevin says if there's a triple, he'll probably just put up Gino, Josh, and Marty. Just the three of them. Just put them all up.
More likely would be that one of them would save the other with a veto, potentially, which they also say they would do if it came down to that.
Yes, they also will. If either of them are on the block and they have the veto, they're just no more messing around. They're getting too close here. Kevin's like, what? How are people not afraid of Josh? Are they stupid? Like this guy's so smart and he's so likable and nobody is like, nobody's onto this.
Now, maybe this is just my perception over the last several weeks, but it feels like Josh entered the game, had a really good social game. Wasn't super strategically locked in with like any major alliances or groups, but had a good social game. There was very few people targeting him. Kevin recognizes this, sort of scoops him up and is like, hey, let's make this big move. And also let's work with Helena and like the three of us, and we'll sort of be the mastermind. I'm going to teach you some things and you'll teach me some things. And now Josh has the strategic power as well as that social chops. And Kevin's like, oh no, shoot. What did I do? I built this person up. What happened?
Well, he said, yeah, I built this person up and now people should be looking at him. Why aren't they looking at him yet? What's going on here? They think that he might've thrown that veto to Helena this week. And that maybe he's been throwing comps in general. He's coming to second place a lot of times. They agree he's definitely not doing his undergrad in marine biology. Like, that is no way. He's at least got doing a PhD or a master's.
They were like, can you even do an undergrad in marine biology? Josh went to the Matthew von Ertfelde School of Throwing Challenges, which is doing really well. And then just, oh, shoot, I came in second at the last minute.
Yeah. Kevin says he looked at me once in Shopper Showcase and told me if he wanted to, he could memorize that whole wall in 10 minutes, which is true. He did do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Helena worries, like, what could we, if we turn on Josh, would he blow us up if he goes up? And Kevin says maybe, but I mean, we can always just tell Jace that Josh told us about their deal with Betty. So, you know, we could try that.
Yeah. Something else that, like, they're keeping these things in the back of your mind. You should always be keeping information to use against someone later. Like, so many people, they learn information and they're like, oh, let's go like tell Jace about this, the fact that Josh, you know, told us about the alliance right now. Like, and save that and use it when the time is right. So thank you for doing that.
So that's, you know, again, very long sort of interesting conversation there. That's sort of their plan moving forward, is the veto is not going to be used. They're looking to take out Gino next, ideally. Then, you know, Josh needs to be looked at. And then, you know, as things go down, obviously, I think that like, really, ideally, they're looking at like Summer or Betty as the third to them in the final three. But they recognize that, you know, one of these other like comp beasts might end up making it there instead. And of those comp beasts, they would prefer Marty before Josh or Gino. So Josh and Gino are the two people they're really trying to look at moving into the coming weeks. They're not in a terrible position to make this happen. This veto win, as Kevin said, kind of saved their games.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I don't think that they would have been completely down and out had it not happened, but it certainly gave them a lot more clarity onto what everyone else is doing and thinking and their true position among everyone else in the game. And I feel like that information is almost even more valuable than the fact that they're going to get to keep Marty, but they're obviously both good. If someone else had won the veto and they took out Marty, not only would they lose Marty, but they would also then sort of realize too late the position they're in. Right now, they realize the position and then get to work around it.
Mm-hmm. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So Kevin is also going to talk to Josh. Josh says, hey, I've been thinking. And I do think it makes more sense to not use the veto and not take out Marty this week. I was like, oh, okay. That's the work I don't have to do. He says, I think I can rebuild with Marty. So that conversation earlier clearly went pretty well on Josh's end. And he says, then I think the plan would be whoever wins HOH next week, we pitch for them to put up Marty and Helena as a duo because she saved him with the veto. Then we backdoor Gino. Kevin's like, I love it. Wait, what was it again? Why is Helena a pawn? Josh is like, because of the veto. It's easy because she won this veto and she didn't use it. Kevin's like, great. I love it.
I don't know that Kevin actually loves that, but it's an idea. I mean, it is some logic from Josh and definitely speaks to the, yes, Josh is 100% more locked in with Kevin than he is with Lena because he's planning on using her as a pawn when it's kind of unnecessary. It's an intriguing idea. And if Kevin wanted to go to the end with Josh, this would be perfectly fine. It is an excuse to be used. Do you think that Kevin should be in this conversation trying to bring up any like hesitancy or no?
I mean, I think that at the end of the day, he doesn't want this plan to go through. It's too risky. Right. That if the veto isn't used, then he loses either Marty or Helena, which is not ideal for him. Obviously, the better plan is to have any other pawns be used and still have them go after the showmans. So I think, you know, just like asking questions, like right now, he's just trying to keep Josh from, you know, flipping back over because like Josh really wanted Marty gone. And if Kevin were to push back on that idea that like, hey, no, we really need to keep Marty, that could, if Josh was smart enough, spell to Josh that like, Kevin's trying to keep his piece on the board, that he's not cool. He's trying to keep his own power base over there. He's probably not as locked in with me as I had hoped. In the same way that Josh wanting Marty gone, so said the same thing to Kevin. So for Kevin, this is great that Josh has this new idea that he wants Marty gone. So in my eyes, if I'm Kevin, I'm with this. Like this solves a short-term problem and it presents a different later problem that I can deal with later.
Leave that for next week's Kevin.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I'm not going to try and solve the next week's problem by bringing back this week's problem. Like this week's problem is solved by next week's problem. So I'm going to work on next week.
Yeah. Josh is going to throw out some other interesting things to Kevin. He says that informs Kevin that Marty said Kevin is actually his number one instead of Helena. And Kevin's like, no, that's a lie. He's fronting, using me as a shield. And Josh like, yeah. And then something that could help both that and the idea that Kevin and Helena are close is that Josh suggests that Kevin sort of tell, like fake a fight and like tell everyone like, oh, I tried to convince Helena to use the veto, but she wouldn't do it. And that would, I don't know, separate them and make Kevin seem less close to Marty. I don't know. It's a little transparent, but hey, whatever you can do.
Yeah. So, Josh also said that if it was a double, he'd just put the showman straight up. Kevin mentions like after talking about, Marty, saying that he felt, closer to Kevin, he was like, yeah, I mean, I feel like I do need to separate myself from them a bit. And that's, yeah, Josh suggests like you could fake a fight or at the very least you could say like when it comes out that the plan was to backdoor Marty, like, oh, why didn't you tell me? Like I could have helped. I would have wanted to help. This is kind of like what I was suggesting for Kevin yesterday. That's like good for Kevin's game to use this situation to like, again, further accentuate the line that has already been drawn, as we saw with Jason Gino talking about how Kevin feels left out of the Marty and Helena situation. Use the fact that she's saving him with the veto to again, further accentuate that line, make it seem like he is really on the outs. They're not attached to the two of them. Now, again, the issue for Helena, if this happens, is that it further puts those two together. But the benefit is that Kevin gets to separate a bit. So there are pros and cons, but for Kevin, it's pro.
Yeah, it's mostly pro for Kevin. And then, of course, Josh is going to also confirm that he did throw the veto.
Yes, he did throw it, throwing
competitions.
He says he's thrown a lot of these comps, a lot of them, actually. Kevin's like, oh, man, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And I mean, it worked out that he did throw it, because if I think Josh had won, then he probably would feel like he couldn't go against what Gino wanted and not use the veto. So,
but he should want that. He should want Marty gone. Josh should have won this thing and he should have used it. And then Marty would be leaving. And then he would be in the position of he would be in a much better position.
What do you think we missed that made Josh change his mind on this plan?
I think it was a combination of things. So a couple of other like loose conversations are going to happen throughout the rest of the day. Mostly just that, like, Jace and Gino are seemingly just kind of giving up on the idea of the veto being used without even really talking. And this is, again, something that I talked about yesterday, where it's like, they don't really want to make a hard push. They don't want to make a hard sell. That's not really what Jace and Gino do. And so they're just trying to come up with ideas in their head about like, maybe it's a good thing for us. Maybe it's fine. They would rather not like push for something and have it denied. They would rather just be like, nah, it's fine. We probably want it anyway. I think the same thing is kind of happening with Josh, as Kevin already sort of said, like, hey, I'm not sure that Helena will be on board with this. Maybe you should talk to Helena. We didn't see the conversation between Josh and Helena. I don't know if there was one. But Josh might have been like, I don't want to like try to push this on Helena and then have her say no. So he probably started thinking about like, what are some other, if Helena's not going to do this or doesn't want to do this, what are some other ways I can make this work for me? He had that conversation with Marty where they talked about keeping lines of communication open and rebuilding things. And I think he came up with this plan of, okay, how's this? I can do damage to Helena and Marty's games by pinning them as a duo because she's saving him with the veto, use them as pawns in the following week. And in the meantime, still rebuild with Marty. And then I'll be good with Jason Gino. I'll be good with Helena, Kevin. I'll be good with Marty. Why would Summer be looking at me? So I think that's where he's falling. But I do think that, which isn't like the worst plan in the world if he's able to make it happen. The problem is, I think, again, like, he's underestimating Kevin. You can't let Kevin have that much, rope. I think you don't want Marty in this game.
Yeah. Oh, well, Josh, you know, it's like, Kevin's right that he's got power and that's a thing, but he's not quite there yet with making the strategic decisions that he should be. So.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where we are. The feeds go down for what we assume is a party, of some sort. There probably wasn't too much game talk, through the night unless this cast hasn't seemed like much of a like get sloppy and talk game kind of cast, so we probably didn't get much of that, but who knows.
You're forgetting Summer's practice veto speech. I'm cute and sassy but always classy. It would be a no-no not to use the veto toe on this sweet piece of ass. There's a whole like little dance as well. It's great. I like it a lot.
There you go. She also talked with Gino again. Yeah. About being put on the block. It was a whole thing. We'll see where things go from here. It's definitely possible that Gino and Jace decide they'd prefer for Moose to stay over Summer. And if that happens, it could maybe have some kind of impact on the vote. But again, they're not exactly pushers. And if everyone else is preferring to go in the other direction, I don't really know that it would change unless it just sparked something in the brain of either Helena, Kevin, or Josh. that made them think, oh, maybe this could actually work for us. But as of right now, it's looking not great for Moose.
Not great for Moose, and almost no really important Moose conversations today that we saw either. So,
no.
Sad. Oh, well.
Well, that's about what we have. Mary, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I'm pretty surprised we actually got 50 minutes out of this. So it felt like not very much happening.
Yeah, big time crash test dummy conversations. But apart from that, not much else here on day 44. So I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds, including the veto ceremony, which should either be happening right now or should be happening very soon, where we will see the veto not be used. Most likely. And then we'll update you on if anything changes with this vote or anything like that. I will also be live on Twitch tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, watching tonight's episode with all of you. And then back here live on Rob as a Podcast to recap tonight's Monday night episode of the show. Make sure you also check out the Taryn Show. The most recent one is with Gabby from Survivor. Find me over on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. And check out the Roundtable Stockwatch podcast tomorrow night. Should be a fun one. Mary, what have you got going on?
You can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary and check out everything I'm doing. Probably retweet everything that I'm posting on Twitter, so you can always check that out. Make sure you check out the new Ultimatum recap that Asia and I are doing over on Rob Has a Podcast. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed to check that out. If you followed our Love is Blind coverage, then you'll really enjoy the Ultimatum coverage. Same duo back at it again with another dating show.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.